You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So, sibling rivalry is as old as time, you know. And if you have ever fought over who gets the last cookie or whose turn is it to use the TV remote, I get that at my house a lot of times. You know exactly, you know, what you're talking about. So today we are diving into the heart of family life to explore how boys can navigate sibling rivalry and cultivate stronger, more supportive family relationships. And yes, we are joined on the line by my elder, Elder Chisenga, who's going to be helping us with this one. My elder, Mulibwanji. I hope you are good, my elder.
I'm well, thank you. Thank you.
I am good as well. Thank you for coming through this one. I'm proper taking notes. I am ready. I'm here because wow, it's a lot. It's a lot. But before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
We are praying. God our Father, the reason why we are calling upon your name is with the understanding that in and of ourselves, we do not have what it takes to discuss the subject matter that is before us. And therefore, we seek your guidance, wisdom, and counsel that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. After all will have been said and after all will have been done, may glory, honor, and praise be given unto your holy name, even as we get the full joy of being served. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, so when I started noticing some of these things in my house, Elder, I thought maybe it is the age gap between my two boys. I was like, maybe that's why they're always, you know, fighting. But funny enough, the oldest so much pampers the girl, and the girl is the last one. And I'm like, I don't know what the problem is, why they're fighting, what is the cause of this? If it's not the remote, it's sleeping, even though they have their separate beds, or it's like just small things that I'm like, but guys, like, can you just stop for once, you know? And I have not found the cause, you know. So, but maybe do you know some common causes that cause this sibling rivalry, and how can we address them? I think in terms of addressing them, I ended up saying, okay, you come back earlier from school, so from this time to this time, you have the TV. When the younger ones come back now, they have the... And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know what the cause is.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. The beginning point, I wish to believe, is this. Mm-hmm. Children, or in particular even boys, do some kind of crave for parental love, mm-hmm. or some kind of attention, even in one form or the other. And the interesting part of it, like, you would actually recognize, it could be more prominent in boys or probably even in girls. There's that syndrome, the ego, you know, the self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. It's about me, and it's about what I want, and probably wanting to have things my way. Mm. You actually discover that even from the baby's perspective, no one will need to teach them to grab things to themselves. Mm-hmm. You actually discover that it's just by virtue of the fall of man and the sin in us, there's just this thing of me, I, and wanting to have things to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing, actually, if we were to discuss this matter, you actually discover that we still continue to grow up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's just that probably as we grow up, it's masked in skillful ways.
Mm-hmm.
And probably it does not naturally come out as it does generally with kids and the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we cannot avoid but to continue to teach,
yeah,
to guide, and to continue to assure our children, the boys in particular, that, you know, parental love and parental attention somehow just needs to be shared because, I mean, we are a family.
Oh, we are losing the elder there as he's coming back. Please do let me know on +27.
Sister around me. It doesn't actually...
Ooh. Yeah, the network has decided to play its tricks on us there. So do let me know on +27 734 70 3520 how you deal with sibling rivalry there as we try and re-establish that connection with my elder so that we can hear him clearly there as he's speaking about this. Yeah. So how do you deal with sibling rivalry? Let me know on +27 734 70 3520. And does it end? Does it end? So that is what we are also trying to figure out as well. Or maybe it's just a phase. Is it just a phase? Or what is it that is there, you know? So we need to figure that out there. But if you have figured it out in your family, let us know in terms of how did you deal with that one there. So let's see if we can get the elder on a different line so that we can continue with the conversation. Yeah, the number to dial is +27 734 70 3520. We're speaking about all things sibling. Yes, I can see that I've been struggling. My elder, hi. Elder? Okay, it seems you can't hear him on this line. It's okay. We'll just go back to where we were and hope that the network is in fact going to stay as we are calling my elder there so we can see if we can hear him and continue the conversation. Elder, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Sorry about that. Yes. So I wanted to ask as well, you know, you spoke about, you know, the seeking of attention and us as parents as well, being there for them. But how can these boys now, my elder, learn to communicate their feelings and needs, you know, in a constructive manner? You know, because sometimes they're speaking, this one now is starting to show some anger, the other one is resisting and so forth and so on. But how can they now communicate without showing those anger issues or, you know, are not so nice emotions there, but speak nicely together with their siblings?
Yeah. I think that's quite key. And mm-hmm. and normally you notice that anger in a way mares down the message that is supposed to be communicated or in a manner that it is supposed to be communicated.
Mm-hmm.
The encouragement that we need to give to the boys is that it is normal to get angry.
Mm.
Yes, that is fine. And it's part of us, but we should not remain in that particular mood
mm-hmm.
for a long period of time. And in fact, if the boys or the siblings can learn the art of not reacting almost immediately when they are in anger, that would definitely be very helpful.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, when we communicate in anger, we do not communicate in the most appropriate and in the most constructive manner. Mm. And in other words, at the time that you are angry, it's even better not to say anything or not to do anything.
Yes.
Because you are likely to do something that you are to regret. And remember, you're not just talking about a friend. You're talking about your own brother. You're talking about your own sister that you constantly continue to live with. Mm. And then also, when the anger itself has actually subsided, it could be in a friendly environment. We can encourage the brothers and sisters to simply communicate what it is that makes them angry, what it is that they do not like. In that friendly environment, then we will learn by the grace of God, or they will learn by the grace of God, to actually understand each other well.
That is good, and the communication actually quite helps, because I've seen, for example, with my boys, that the more they sit down and actually talk, or someone actually voices that, no, I actually want to watch this, it's easier to control, or it's easier to manage than when everyone just throws their toys out the window, and it becomes something that's impossible.
Something else, sure.
Yes, looking at, for example, with me, because it's two boys and a girl, you find that the other one has his qualities, for example, his strengths, talks too much. The other one is too quiet. Mm-hmm. The other one is the loudest in the house, So how then do we help, or how can the children themselves identify the qualities that, no man, I think my brother, when I'm down, he can make me laugh because he's the loud one, Or no man, because I want to draw maybe a cartoon, or maybe I want to draw Spider-Man, or maybe I want to draw something, a ball, and I can't. Maybe my brother can draw it better. Maybe he can help me, So how do we teach them, the children, to identify each other's strengths and use them?
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I think we just need to value the time that they actually spend with each other, okay? Mm-hmm. And encourage them to basically study each other, or over and above just the aspect of them being siblings, to just be friends. I think that is something that is key. Being friends over and above being siblings. And one of the key things that, even as they associate with one another, that we need to encourage them is not per se to focus on the weaknesses, or should I say the bad part of each other. The truth of the matter is that no one is actually perfect, okay? Mm. We need to constantly encourage them to basically focus on the fact that, yes, every one of us can have weaknesses, but as we focus on those little differences and weaknesses, they get magnified to such an extent that they may, or we may not be in a position to see the good or the strength that is in another person. And also, we just also need to emphasize the fact that having a sibling is indeed a great blessing. That they make it makes a difference, the whole difference in the world. It's a blessing that God has actually given unto us to have family and each other. There's somebody out there that is longing to have a brother, to have a sister, but probably for one reason or another, they are alone. And it could be as a result of the fact that they were born alone, or probably some of them have even died to death. But the key thing at the end of the day is to encourage them to appreciate each other, and to always know that we will not always have each other. God has made this arrangement for us so that our weaknesses and our strengths and our uniqueness somehow complement one another. So in other words, together we are stronger than when we are alone.
Mm-mm. My elder, there's a comment, there's a question that has come through on our WhatsApp line to our listeners at home. If you also want to comment, the number is +27 734 703520. So the listener is asking, which is more detrimental for the child, some sibling rivalry or the toxicity sometimes caused by being only children? Can sibling rivalry actually be viewed as healthy, as it nurtures certain social skills? You?
Yes, I think that's a very important question. And implied in that particular question, yes, there are benefits. One of the key things that you had also actually mentioned is the fact that sometimes you watch this particular rivalry. You know, there is a greater temptation in always intervening and bringing things under control. But the downside to it is that as parents, as we quickly intervene, it's like we are in a way shielding our children from the ability to be in a position to take care of their own differences and their own conflicts. So it's like we can end up having a situation where children grow up to say that they should always be somebody who actually steps in to intervene and to bring things under control. But if there's something that we need to allow our children to develop, even in this whole rivalry, is for them to develop the ability to have those skills, to settle their differences, to compromise, to reach some level of understanding. So in a way, it has its own role. Yes, as parents, we can come in, we can intervene, but we should not always... it should not always be our habit. It should not always be our approach. We should be able to sometimes allow our children be in a position to resolve something by themselves. When they grow up, they will develop into responsible citizens that are able to handle conflict resolution, even in the various environments that they will find themselves in.
I love that. How can we now, you know, the issues of birth, because some children, they become a surprise. I think there is this well-known preacher, Priscilla Shire. So every time she goes there, she gives an illustration about her children before she gets into the message, right? And then she was like, no, the third one, they called him Jude, because they're like, he was a surprise. It was a shock before Revelation. You know, and then you could see the age gaps that are there. Looking, for example, at me myself, I think me and my brother, there is almost a 10-year gap. And funny enough, now that we are older, we are very close, but growing up, there was no relationship at all. So does the birth order and the gaps in between the birth play a role in terms of the sibling rivalry or the family dynamics, or it doesn't really matter if maybe it's a 2-year gap or a 10-year gap or a 15-year gap, because others, the gap is proper. You know, so does that play a gap or it doesn't?
It does play a role. I wish to believe. You actually notice that the smaller the difference, naturally you notice that the more the rivalry itself. Maybe it's from the perspective of the fact that in our African tradition, there's probably that mentality, and probably it's common in other traditions as well, or in other cultures as well, that the elderly is the one that is considered to be more privileged in one form or the other, or alternatively, one who is supposed to take the leadership role and then guide out. if that has generally been accepted in the family, the rivalry may not be that much. But if it has been not been accepted within the family, and more especially, if such a one does not contain certain qualities that the others can actually look up to, it has got the capacity to cause problems. From my personal experience, there's quite some gap between me and my siblings. The natural thing that has actually happened over life is that you could not notice that rivalry kind of an arrangement, but they probably view me as one who is a parent and one who is able to offer leadership and guidance even to them. The other flip side also that can happen is that sometimes when you have an arrangement of a last born, even in the family, normally those are considered to be spoiled in one form or the other, probably enjoying so many privileges that others did not enjoy. That in itself also does create in certain instances some strain, even in some relationship. A good example that we might give is what it was found in the Bible with regards to Joseph. But what we can say at the end of the day is that somehow we need to find a way of managing our relationships, even within the family. Because if not well managed, you actually discover that it can drain us, it can destroy the family. And some of these distance relationships that we have seen, even when people have actually grown up, will actually discover that it is simply as a result of it not having managed very well, even as they are growing up, as they were growing up, and hence creating that rift and that distance amidst us. But all in all, we are saying family is a great blessing, and God has blessed us in our families for a very special purpose, and we need somewhat to work together and coexist with one another in such a manner that we help each other to even inherit the kingdom of God.
So as we wrap up there, you know, others might say that, you know, it is for the boys. For example, you did mention that the boys, sometimes you just need to lead them to reconcile and find the issues, right? But as parents, what are some strategies that we can use to help the boys, for example, not to be jealous of their other siblings, you know, and even us as parents to be neutral when resolving these conflicts that may arise? Because sometimes we are correcting, but at the same time, we are also enabling, because you find that we don't get the full picture. And then we reprimand one child, can't, no, 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 it was the other one who did that, but just because they know how to act so pitiful. Anyway, you know, how can we now help strategies that we can use to you know, to make sure that it doesn't reach that stage?
It doesn't reach that stage. Very important question indeed. I think generally what we can do for our boys, aside from the usual counseling and teaching that is there, is in a general way to help them cultivate or encourage them to pursue activities that cultivate a spirit of love and kindness. A simple example could be, we encourage them, let's say, for instance, to read the Bible.
Yeah.
We encourage them to take some time to pray. We can encourage them to not to always want things, to obtain things, but to lead a life of giving, you know, contributing to different people. We can discourage them from cultivating activities that will encourage competitiveness and jealousness. A good example is we need to take an interest in what they are watching. If all that our boys are watching is action movie, fighting and everything, that definitely will manifest itself in a home environment. So there are certain behaviors that we may wish to discourage. Then additionally, I think we need to encourage them to celebrate each other's successes.
Yep.
as a family success, so together. If one sibling does something good, we celebrate, we are happy. And then also, as opposed to competing with one another, one of the teachings that we need to inculcate within our boys is the ability to compete against one's self. You know, when we identify that we are unique, we are different, instead of competing against my brother, against my sister, I need to compete against myself. In other words, if I am doing something, I do it to another level. Let me cultivate, or let the boys cultivate, an attitude of doing something better than they did it, you know, the last time. Like that, focus moves away from colleagues, from friends, and from siblings, but begin to focus about bettering their lives, even in one form or the other.
Yeah, ne, indeed. I have heard as well. I know how to deal with them when I go home today. So I'm going to ask my elder, you please offer a word of prayer for parents, you know, that are struggling in maintaining that peace and harmony, and also for the children to acknowledge, you know, that they are siblings, man. You know, they are not rivals, you know, so that may be there throughout. So if you can please offer a word of prayer there.
Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we want to thank you for the gift of family. It's an expression of your love towards us. But truth be told, as parents, we do not have what it takes to bring up the children, even in the fear of the Lord. And so we ask that you will grace us with wisdom. You who has promised to give us wisdom, even according to James chapter 1 and verse 5. We plead for wisdom, even upon every parent that great King of Glory, under the guidance and influence of the Holy Spirit, they may raise up children even in the fear of the Lord. For us, for the children, we still pray and plead with you that you will help the children to grow up in harmony even with one another. In other words, we are praying that you may oil the interaction between each one of them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, we pray that may every family arrangement that you have given us be one that is going to translate into helping us prepare even for your soon and second coming. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. My Dalam, thank you so much. Conjured, what do we say? Zikomo Gambir.
Amen. It has been a blessing
to be part of this discussion.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.